ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres won the game and the series with another clincher from our new closer.
Kimbrel seals the deal with another strikeout.
And another home run from Upton.
That ball to hit home and far. Touch a ball.
So with this hot start, our hosts Jesse Agler and Mike Grace want to keep on playing. Unfortunately, today's an off day.
We want our cake and eating it too.
That's my least favorite expression in the human language.
Tomorrow it's off to Wrigley, but now, from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour presented by United Airlines with your hosts Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Welcome, Padres Social Hour. It's an off day for the Padres, not for the Social Hour crew. We got you.
We're here.
We got you all lined up, man. 1 hour of Padre talk coming your way. Oh, that's a beautiful view. That's the Coronado Bridge, a little Imperial Beach in the distance. What a beautiful place we live. I've said this before. I'll say it again, Grace. There's some guy watching in Detroit who hates us passionately every time online or on TV, we show one of those beautiful scenic downtown panoramas.
They
hates us.
Absolutely.
Hates
but,
us.
But they beat us in 84, so I hate him just as bad.
You're making it a Tiger thing. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's fair. That's understandable. Man, we got a lot to talk about today. Really fun game last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You win the game, you win the series. Check, check. That's the deal right now for this team. You want to be a playoff contender. You want to be hanging around. You got to do stuff like that. And it was a fun game. It's a discussable game. You've got Yasmani Tomas involved in the conversation. You've got Justin Upton involved in the conversation, Craig Kimbrel, et cetera, et cetera. But also, we're turning the page here, obviously, to the series over the weekend at Wrigley. 3 day games against the Cubs, and Chris Bryant is theoretically now available to them because of the contractual stuff. We'll get into all of that as well. We'll talk some minor league. We've got our telephone system all fixed now. John Conniff from Mad Friars will join us, and we'll talk to him about everything taking place down on the farm for the Padres. It's an off day, but we got a lot, man. I hope you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm decompressing a little bit from an amazing week, amazing weekend. So much going on here at the ballpark, and it was really, really fun. The atmosphere here was fantastic, and it's going to be fun to kind of recap it all. And so much energy, 5 wins, that's what you need. Pretty much every homestand, really. You got to take care of business at home and then hold court on the road.
That's it. So they did their thing at home. They won the series against San Francisco, 3 out of 4. They win the series against Arizona, 2 out of 3. Calculate that. They are 5-2 on this homestand, and that's it. That's the goal. You know, that's a good week of baseball, and now you handle yourself. I like the way you put that. You handle your business on the road going to Chicago and Colorado. Let's talk a little bit about last night, and I think we start with Justin Upton. It's 2-2 in the 8th inning, and it's just another laser beam home run. The guy is different, man. He's not just a regular player.
No, he's got some superhuman strength, and we talked about when these acquisitions started happening. You've got a guy like Upton, you've got a guy like Kemp, who have MVP potential, and he's showing that in April. And he's traditionally a hot starter. His best numbers do come in April, but as well as this team is hitting right now, he's the guy that you kind of really look to who's hitting the ball really hard. Mm-hmm. He's hitting home runs. Matt Kemp's getting hits, but I don't feel like he's, you know, really locked in. Justin Upton is locked in right now, and it's a difference from anything we've seen in many, many years that throughout the lineup, you feel like these guys can make a difference like that, and you saw it last night.
You absolutely did, and I think you saw it and you felt it even when it was a 2-0 game early on. You know, I'm not going to say last year when it was 2-0 in the first inning, you felt like you might as well turn the game off, but it sure doesn't feel that way this year. It's like, oh, it's 2-0, no big deal. You've got Upton and Kemp, and I agree with you, by the way, that it doesn't feel like Kemp is all the way locked in yet, but he's hitting .341.
Exactly.
So it's like he's not all the way locked in, but he's doing enough. I mean, it's crazy to look at some of the numbers up and down the lineup.
You look at that, like, he's gotten some extra base hits, but, I mean, a couple of the triples were flares that he really made hustle plays, turned them into something else. But he hasn't hit his first home run of the year. He's going up the middle to the right side, so he's not locked in. It's funny, a guy like Will Middlebrooks, who's actually been hitting the ball really, really hard and just been hitting it at people, not showing the numbers that you would expect from the at-bats that he's having.
Are you going BABIP on me?
A little bit. And, you know, it's funny. I looked it up, and his BABIP is pretty much around his career norms. He's hitting like .300 BABIP. So it doesn't totally explain his numbers being total bad luck, but his outs are memorable. Yeah. I mean, just shots right at outfielders on a line.
All right.
But then you see what Justin Upton did yesterday. The line got a little higher.
Yeah, no, it's a big line.
It went far.
It's a violent swing. The result is violent. It's fun to watch with Justin Upton because he just hits the ball so incredibly hard and it goes so incredibly far, and it happens fast. Like, he's one of those guys, the minute that ball gets hit by the bat, you just know, and it's gone. And Buddy Black talked about this after the game. He's obviously very, very encouraged by everything he's seeing, as we all are. And the guy is fire right now. So is Kemp. And here's Buddy talking about seeing it, from the home dugout, so to speak, now.
You know, when you see it from the other side for many years like we did with Justin, with the Diamondbacks as a, young player in the big leagues, and hitting the middle of their order, and then popping over to Atlanta and seeing the impact that he can do during the course of a game, and Matt, obviously, all the years in Anna and Los Angeles, what he can do, and it's we're looking at it firsthand. And again, I still think there's not more to come, but you're going to see things like this because they're really good players. So there's no doubt they've made a statement so far early this year. my guess, it's going to continue. But it's when you have those type of players who are, and like I've said before, these guys are into it, man, which is great. New team, new teammates, new organization. They're embracing this and really having a lot of fun and playing very well.
It's going to continue. That's my favorite part of all of that from Buddy Black. And he's exactly right. Not that you expect the guys to hit, in the 340s and 50s as they are right now for the entirety of the season, and they don't need to. But, the effort and the power and the danger that they present in a lineup for an opposing pitcher, it is going this is not an aberration thing. This isn't a guy having a randomly hot start. These are really, really, really talented guys performing up to expectation.
It's absolutely true, and the funny thing Buddy said was you watched these guys from the other dugout for years, and Justin Upton was a guy that always stood out to me. We've seen him hit some massive home runs here as a member of the opposing team, whether it was Arizona or Atlanta, and that was something that we were always missing. You had it a little bit in Adrian Gonzalez, but just the pure power that he has and has had since he came up. I mean, since he was a 19-year-old and he came up, he has just been a strong baseball player. And to see it from the other side, now to have it on your team, it's just such a different feeling, and the San Diego fans have responded. There's so much energy because of these guys. It's just such a fun give and take.
It's been a blast. I mean, it was just a great week here. It really was. You had entertaining games and exciting games against the Giants, and it was just so much fun to be a part of it. You honestly probably should have won all four. I mean, you think back at all the lost opportunities in the 1-0 defeat in 12 innings, and obviously against Arizona, you're hanging with them. That one got away a little bit, but that's all right. It's been great, and as you said, they've responded. There was a curtain call for Will Nieves. There was all the Angel Pagan stuff. Corey Spangenberg was on the show yesterday, and we talked to him about how, you could feel the whole thing in the dugout, and it's just a different vibe here at Petco Park this year, and it's been a lot of fun. Sometimes it's hard if you're just going to throw numbers out there, but I got some numbers I want to share.
Okay,
so try and bear with us on these numbers, and we'll start with something very, very simple, which is that Justin Upton is hitting .351 10 games into the season. He's got a hit in all 10 games. So we got a 10-game hitting streak. If you count last year with the Braves, he's got a 12-game hitting streak. So Justin Upton is hitting .351 this year with 3 homers and 7 RBIs in 10 games. It's off the charts. And this is everything we're talking about right here. But as we mentioned, it isn't just Justin Upton. Kemp also has 7 RBIs. He's hitting .341. And the team, the Padres, as a team in 10 games, have scored 43 runs. That's 4.3 runs per game. That is second. Number 2 in the National League. Now, look, I get it. Sample size. It's April 16th today. But you go back to last April 16th, and you go back to last season, and the way this went and the way we saw it go, if I was to tell you, hey, a week and a half into the 2015 season, the Padres are going to be second in the National League in scoring, you wouldn't believe me. But that's the case right now. Second in the National League in runs scored.
And it's funny, too, because so much of what we've talked about through this offseason and the analytics community didn't love all the moves that A.J. Preller was making. And we lived it last year. We saw this amazing pitching staff. They go out, maybe give up a run, maybe give up two. And you just said, wow, if we could just get a average lineup in there or guys having an average year, they're going to win a lot more games. So you go out and you get guys that have been all-stars who are still under the age of 30, that logically is going to increase your offensive output. So it made sense when you started making the moves. We got poo-pooed a little bit by the analytics community saying, I don't know. But now we're seeing some of these results. And like you said, small sample size, we're not going to say that this is going to continue all year. Guys are going to go through ebbs and flows of the season. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't be a total shock with the players that we have now.
No, and I don't think it is a total shock to anybody around here. And if the Fangraphs projections maybe are confused by this, they'll say sample size, and that's fair. But the main thing to me is that while you're getting this kind of production from guys like Upton and Kemp and Alonzo, who you got to include in that conversation because he's got a better batting average than either one of those two guys,
yep.
I think that you've got to say, hey, the Padres are taking advantage and they're winning games with all of this happening. It would be one thing if Upton was putting up all these crazy numbers and you're not coming up with the wins. What you got to do is you got to build a bank of victories. And this is why the hot start is so important, and this is why a good April is so important. You want to put as much money in the bank as you can while these guys are hitting because, again, he's not going to hit 340-whatever this year or 350 this year. That's just not a realistic expectation for really anybody, let's be fair. And so what you want to do is, while you're getting that kind of production, making sure that the pitching staff is doing their part, that the other guys in the lineup are doing their part, and driving these guys in when they get on base. And that's what's been happening. I get it, again, just 10 games. But I think that's maybe, to me, what's so encouraging. And the pitching is part of this.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching is part of this. It's really easy to focus on all the runs being scored. But the starters right now for the Padres, two trips through the rotation, have the first or the best ERA in the National League. The starter's ERA is 2.44, best in the National League. This isn't just about offense right now.
No, it's really not. And the starters have been fantastic. Kastner, his last start, gave up the 4 unearned runs. Makes that it seems like there was a bad start there, but he was actually pretty good. Just the defense let him down a little bit. And maybe that's your one thing that gives you hope for growth with this team. The defense hasn't been great, and the bullpen hasn't been great. And you expect the bullpen to be much better than they are. So there is still room for growth with this team through the pitching staff. It leads to a lot of excitement, and a wise man once told me, every baseball team is going to win 60 games and lose 60 games. It's those 40 that you do in between, and I would say last night's game was one of those 40. That could have gone either way, and Justin Upton was the difference, and Craig Kimbrel was the difference. So, that's one in the right column right there.
Yeah, I think you got to mention Brandon Morrow again there. 7 innings, a couple of runs, 5 strikeouts. It was a little rough at first, and he settled in. Darren Balsley goes out there. He says whatever magic words that Darren Balsley says. And you could really almost see Brandon Morrow becoming more and more comfortable as the night went on. He got some help on defense again. He pitched out of a couple tough spots, came up with a strikeout or two when, they were really useful. And it was neat watching him pitch. Again, this guy is your fifth starter. And he's giving you back-to-back starts of 7 innings and really good stuff out of Brandon Morrow. Very encouraging. A couple other numbers on the pitching rotation. I said the starter's ERA for the Padres through 10 games, 2.44, tops in the National League, third best in baseball. Also, Padres starting pitchers have 59 strikeouts so far this year. That is the most in all of baseball. Starting pitching, Padres pitchers, more strikeouts than any other team. And they've also, in 10 starts this year, in 10 games this year, delivered 8 quality starts. I know quality starts is one of those little, a little bit on the goofy side, but still, you're telling me that 8 of the 10 qualify as quality starts? That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff.
And the production has been coming out of the bottom of the rotation. Tyson with a rough start.
Yeah.
Andrew Kastner with a rough start. Those are guys you're counting on to be really good, and it can only get better.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, we'll take a break, come back. I'll talk some more about the production the Padres have been getting here. I also want to talk payroll. Now, if you watched the show at all last year, or if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I am not as big into discussing payroll as I think a lot of fans are. I think a lot of fans go crazy with it, but I saw some really interesting payroll numbers today from Jason Stark that I want to talk about. And I'll sort of leave you with this thought before we begin the conversation. So at home, you can sit there and think about this. And remember, too, by the way, I should throw this out there, you can tweet at us. Anytime you like, use the hashtag on Twitter, PadresSH. You saw some of the tweets flying through right there. And you can ask us questions. You can make your comments. Use that hashtag, and we'll pick them up. You can also go online to Padres.com/social hour. It's a place to watch the show if you're unable to watch us on Fox Sports San Diego. And, of course, you can also chat with other fans. But here's the question I'll sort of throw out there. 30 teams in baseball. How many do you think on opening day this year had payrolls of $100 million or more? So of the 30 teams, how many do you think and payrolls of $100 million or more? You think about that. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk payrolls after this. You can join us right here at Petco Park next Friday, a week from tomorrow. That's the 24th. It is the season's first Beer Fest, presented by Southwest Airlines. First pour is at 5 p.m., so you come for the live entertainment, craft beer from local and national breweries, plus you get to stay for a great game against the Dodgers at 7:10. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Next Friday, the first Beer Fest of the season, presented by Southwest. We'll take a break. When we come back, more from the AMR studios, talk about the big payrolls all around Major League Baseball.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. With Mike Grace, I'm Jesse Agler. Off day for the Padres. Team traveled to Chicago this morning. Three on the north side. Wrigley Field. Cubs.
No bleachers.
The place is a mess, man. Wrigley Field is an absolute disaster area. And we'll talk about this over the course of the next couple of days. They're trying to do all this construction. And, hey, shocker, tough winter in Chicago.
What?
Who could have predicted that? And so the construction got way behind schedule. So no bleachers in left, none in right. They've got temporary construction all over the place. There's porta-potties everywhere because there's not enough bathrooms for people.
Unbelievable.
At Wrigley Field. It's supposed to be pretty good weather a couple of days, Friday and Saturday. All three are day games, 11:20 first pitches here in San Diego. Friday, Saturday is supposed to be pretty nice. You know, I think 50, 60, sunny. Sunday, according to weather.com, 100% chance of rain on Sunday in Chicago. So we'll keep tracking that for you over the next couple of days. But I feel like
never
usually
good.
When it says 100, it rains.
On some level.
On some level.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can get that one in on Sunday. And if not, maybe a return trip to Wrigley coming up a little bit later on. All right, we mentioned we've got Twitter stuff. We've got stuff going on at Padres.com/social hour, and we'll get to all of that. But I want to talk about payrolls for a moment. Before the break, I rhetorically asked everybody, of the 30 teams, how many do you think currently or on opening day this year had payrolls of $100 million or more? The answer, according to Jason Stark, who wrote about this in depth today, is 22. 22 of the 30 teams on opening day had estimated payrolls of $100 million or more. And if that sounds like a lot to you, it absolutely is. By the way, that counts the Padres. The Padres are the 22nd team, 22nd highest payroll in baseball, but up over $100 million this year. In 2012, not that 3 years ago, 2012, nine teams as recently as 3 years ago had $100 million plus payrolls. Now it's 22 teams. If you go back to 2005, and to be fair, I think 10 years is a long time, but only three teams in 2005 had payrolls of over $100 million. Now 22 wow. out of the 30 teams do going into this year. Obviously, there's a lot of reason for it, a lot of reasons for it. But to me, I'm not really interested, and this clashes, I know, with a lot of fans, but I'm not really that interested in how much a team's payroll is. Now, if it's a wild extreme one way or the other, that's one thing. And I get a few years ago that was the case with the Padres. A few years ago, it was an extreme low. You look at the Dodgers now, 272, I think.
That sounds right.
That's insane.
Right.
So that both of those things are crazy, and I think they are therefore notable. But if you're anywhere sort of like in the normal vicinity, I don't find it to be that big of a deal. And if you said, why don't you think it's that big of a deal, Jesse? My answer would be that you can win with this. And I think that was one of the main takeaways I had from Jason Stark. Of the six teams, there are only six now with payrolls under $90 million. Four of them have been to the playoffs in the last 2 years. So the point is that while 10 or 15 years ago, if you had a lower end payroll, you had no shot to win, that's no longer the case. And so I think, you know, we all sort of need to move on because it is clearly a different era in baseball right now.
It makes a lot of sense because I think the key to baseball now is homegrown baseball players that are good in their first 1 to 3 years, but especially that 1 to 6 years before they hit free agency. And that's maybe whether it's steroids or performance-enhancing drugs or whatever the case may be, players are not good into their mid to late 30s anymore like they were in the last couple decades. So you've got to get guys good when they're young. So it makes total sense that if you get three or four guys that are eventually going to be superstars to come up at the same time and be really good at the same time, that's where baseball success comes from in this era. And the Padres went a little different route. They had a good farm system. They turned that into established veterans who, for whatever reason, they were able to get into that payroll situation. So it worked out that way. And I think that's one of the geniuses of A.J. Preller, was that he figured out how to make that work to make this team good immediately.
Yeah, and again, I think for a long time people said there is a correlation between spending money and winning, and that's just not true. It isn't. Now, does it make it easier on your general manager? Of course.
Sure.
Of course it's easier if you've got an infinite payroll budget as opposed to a finite or smaller payroll budget. But this correlation, this straight line that for a lot of years people, and this includes owners, by the way, and I think major league owners 10, 15, 20, not even necessarily that long ago, were guilty of complaining about all of this stuff outwardly, you know, and I'll pick on Minnesota, but I don't know if that's fair, but, you know, saying, hey, we can't spend this kind of money, so we have no shot to compete. Whether it was true or not, it was said, and it became a thing people discussed. It's not true in this moment anymore. In 2015, it's not true. Of the teams with the 9 highest payrolls last year, 5 missed the playoffs. 3 of them finished in last place. 3 of the teams, a third of the teams with the top 9 payrolls last year finished in last place. And like you said, a lot of that goes to you've got these back-ended contracts, these heavy, heavy deals, whether it's an A-Rod or a Pujols or whatever, and you're not going to see those deals anymore. Teams have gotten smarter. You know, you may get one team, a big market team, that thinks they're one guy away that'll overpay for a superstar, but you're not going to see these giant, giant mega deals anymore because, as you said, guys aren't performing deep into their 30s the way they were a half generation ago.
It's funny when you look at it that way. I correlate to the NBA, and when they went into their last negotiations for their collective bargaining agreement, the owners basically had to protect themselves from themselves. They had to keep reducing the highest or the longest contract you can give out to a player because they were giving out too many ridiculous contracts. They had to bring it back down a little bit to make the game where it should be. I mean, owners a lot of times do need to be protected from themselves. I think baseball has gotten a lot smarter than most other sports about how to spend your money wisely. I mean, you look at the Dodgers. Andrew Friedman was essentially told to cut payroll. They had to bring that ridiculous number down.
Get it down to 272?
Yeah, get it down. were they over $300 million, or it was very close?
Crazy.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. But I think they're realizing now that they've got a real smart baseball guy in there that it isn't about the money, like you said, and he's making it work, getting the payroll down, and they get to make more money and do whatever they want with it.
Exactly. And again, I'm not saying that it isn't helpful to be able to spend more and more money. That's not the argument I'm trying to make. I just don't like, and I see with a lot of people, this sort of straight line correlation between you have to spend a lot in order to win, or the way to win is to spend a lot. There have been plenty of teams that have spent and done poorly, as we just talked about. 3 of the 9 highest spenders finishing in last place last year. More often than not, those teams not making the postseason. And you can have success spending less money. Now, again, you look at those teams, you know, the Clevelands, the Tampas, the Oakland, they're smart about it. And you've got to have some really, really talented baseball people in your front office. Otherwise, you know, it turns into a disaster. But, you know, again, I thought there were some really interesting numbers there. And, again, the one that surprised me more than anything maybe was 22 teams this year with opening day payrolls at or above $100 million. 22 out of the 30 teams. And it's a different era. We have begun a different era, a new era of baseball.
For all the things baseball does wrong, they're really good at making money.
Yes. It is a giant, giant business right now. There's no question about it. All right, we got some Twitter stuff happening. Want to get to some of these. Our dear friend, Ghost of Ray Kroc, Scott, he checks in. Rumor has it that Matt Fryers is supposed to be on Padres Social Hour today. Then again, he was supposed to be on yesterday. Hashtag blame blooper. Now, the only reason we're even putting this tweet up there is because that is a really good hashtag that is new. Blooper is our producer, Seth. Wave to the people, Seth. Show everybody who you are so they have some sense of it.
There he is.
That's Blooper. Yeah, so we had a technical difficulty yesterday. John Conniff from Matt Fryers was supposed to be on, and Blooper, his little phone apparatus over there on his table, he didn't have it plugged in. It was really that kind of simple of a deal. So he has since plugged it in. And so we do very much expect to have John join us to talk some minor league baseball coming up in a little bit. But it's a good hashtag, Ghost. We're going to get some use out of that this year.
I hope it doesn't trend ever because I think that means things went horribly wrong.
Right.
But
you kind of hope it trends.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Sorry,
all right. We love you, Blooper. That's from Ghost of Ray Kroc. Rick also checks in. And I think this is something that's still worth talking about, and we've discussed it a lot the last few days. Any chance Buddy Black plays Solarte at second base more since he's hitting well? I like Jerko, but the lineup is better right now when he's not in it. Jerko got the start yesterday. Today, day off. Tomorrow, we'll see. But, I mean, I guess the answer, Rick, to your question is we've seen that. I mean, it was 3 straight starts at second base for Solarte this week.
And I think there's not a lot of room for a growing period like there has been in the past. This team's already competitive, and if Solarte's hot, he's going to play. Maybe he's going to give Middlebrooks a day at third. Maybe if you've got a real tough left-hander, he's going to go back to first base. Hopefully he gets a little more comfortable there defensively. But like everybody always says, if you're hitting the ball, you're going to play. They're going to find a place, and we've seen him play the outfield a little bit. If one of those guys needs a day, I mean, he's going to play.
He's going to play?
Yeah.
He's going to play. He's absolutely going to play. He's going to find a spot wherever it is, and he's going to be out there. No, that's true. I think my personal thought on Jerko right now is, you know, he's obviously been working a lot. We've heard about it with Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell, the hitting coaches, and he's doing all of that. He's doing the extra hitting. He's doing the extra BP. He's in the cage. He's off the tee. Everything, you know, that Jed Jerko's been doing. But there comes a point when he's got to play in order to come out of this.
Right.
He's not going to come out of it on the bench. And if you're winning, and the good thing about this Padre team is there's enough other good bats in the lineup that if he's hitting seventh or eighth and he's struggling, that could be okay.
That's the biggest difference this year, is that he can struggle and they can still win games.
Right. And so they can allow him to sort of work through it. But there is a point. I don't know when it is, but there is a point if he doesn't come out of it that it maybe is going to be an extended period of time on the bench. I don't know. But three games is a lot. Three straight games is a lot for a guy that you expect to be a starter. But we do know that Jed's working hard to try and get things going. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how things go. All right, good stuff there. We'll take a break, come back. Got some more questions coming in social media-wise. We'll talk about that. Also, Yasmani Tomas, who we talked about a lot in the winter, made his big league debut last night. Weird, weird, weird deal with the Diamondbacks calling up Yasmani Tomas. So we'll talk about that. Also, John Conniff of Matt Friars going to take us down on the farm. Moo. I'm going to talk about Padres minor leaguers with John Connor. How'd you like to give back to the San Diego community? Who wouldn't? Sign up for the Padres volunteer team presented by Toyota and volunteer alongside Padres players, coaches, and alumni. Sign up padres.com/volunteer. Hey, it's a great new program. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. This is called Doing Good in Your Neighborhood. padres.com/volunteer. And what a neighborhood it is. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the show. We are live at the AMR studio in the Western Metal Supply Company building. Hanging out, team store here at Petco Park with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks for spending part of your Padres off day with us. Team back at it tomorrow. Three straight games at 11:20 a.m. Pacific at Wrigley Field, which means we're on super early. 10 a.m. tomorrow, Blooper, is that right, or 10:30? 10 o'clock tomorrow. We're on at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Friday morning social hour, so adjust your calendars accordingly. That'll be the start time for the show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as the Padres get ready to face the Cubs up there. Chris Bryant, the super-duper prospect for the Chicago Cubs. We saw him a bunch in spring training when he hit .425 with 9 home runs. In spring training, he hit .425 with 9 home runs. Today is the 12th day of the baseball season, which means after today, the Cubs can call him up and they got him for a whole nother year. This is why he began the year in the minor leagues. This is why he was an I Cub and not a C Cub. That would be Iowa Cub or Chicago Cub. Because if they held him out for 12 days, the first 12 days of the season, they get a whole nother year of control over Chris Bryant. Some people were upset about it. Easy choice, honestly, I think, you know, for Theo and company up in Chicago. So that means that tomorrow he could be there. It could be any time this weekend. They're being a little bit silly about it in the sense that they're being coy. And, well, we don't know. We'll see what our situation looks like. But I would say it's a very real possibility that Chris Bryant makes his major league debut this weekend against the Padres. And that would be a rather large story around baseball.
Oh, it would be huge. It'll be the biggest story in baseball, I would say. It was the biggest story through spring training because, like you said, 9 home runs, one of the biggest spring trainings anybody's ever had, you know, on the likes of John Roscoe's with the Padres back a few years. But, yeah, it'll be huge. And I wouldn't put it past Theo to make him wait an extra week just to anger his agent because he had to take so much grief in the media about it. But who knows? Theo's an interesting guy. Obviously a super talented baseball player. It'd be fun to watch the Padres shut him down. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
It'll be exciting for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be notable. It's something to tune in to check for, and it's something to talk about. And we will visit, you know, with the Chicago beat writer tomorrow on the show and kind of get a sense and a pulse on that whole entire thing. So that's one potential big league debut. We had an actual big league debut last night here at Petco. Remember Yasmani Tomas, the Cuban defector? We talked a ton about him early on in the offseason. He eventually signs with the Diamondbacks for like $68 million. And he began the season in the minor leagues with the Reno Aces of the Pacific Coast League. He was playing right field. He was a guy, probably a third baseman, we thought, at the beginning of the conversation. But he's been playing right field in the minors for the Diamondbacks. And then they call him up yesterday, and you go, well, they already sort of have too many outfielders, the Diamondbacks. They're rotating, I mean, Inciarte, who's hitting like 1,100 so far this year. That's his actual batting average is 1,100. At least against the Padres, it seems like it. And he didn't play the middle or didn't start the middle game of the series here because they're rotating guys, and they got old Mark Trumbo in right field. Yep. And so they call up Yasmani Tomas, and they go, well, yeah, we're calling him up, but he's going to be a bench player. Why are you calling him up if he's not going to get at-bats except as a random pinch hitter as he did last night? Very, very weird Tony La Russa stuff going on.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, right field, Inciarte is playing great. Third base, where they originally tried him, Jake Lamb is playing great, looking like a really, really good player. It's looking like they kind of mishandled it from the start. I mean, most people thought he had to play the outfield or even DH. I think that's why a lot of teams backed off of him, because of his defense. They didn't think he had a spot. So why try him at a corner infield spot where it's even tougher to play? That worked out very poorly, so he had to start in AAA. And like you said, for him not to get major league or bats against American professional players on a regular basis,
it doesn't make
a lot of sense. I mean, unless they just are worried about what he's going to be, or maybe there's some attitude issues. I don't know. I shouldn't speculate like that, but who knows?
Speculate.
Well, right. It's the D-backs.
It's talk
who
radio.
Cares?
That's what you're supposed to do. Haven't you ever listened to talk radio before? You're just supposed to speculate wildly.
But you kind of have to, because it doesn't make any sense.
No, it's
weird. It really doesn't. I mean, maybe they've got something in the works to move one of these other guys.
Sure.
I mean, maybe that's kind of in the works, but...
But then why call him up?
I don't know.
Strange deal. Really, so their roster construction is strange. They're carrying a weird number of guys. The Diamondbacks, they're just a weird team. And look, I guess we knew forever, Tony La Russa thinks about things a little bit differently. He did so as a manager. Maybe now he's doing so as a chief baseball officer, which is his official title with the Diamondbacks. Strange deal, though. Really strange deal with Yasmani Tomas, and definitely something to keep track of. In a semi sort of similar way, we got a question in the chat from SD Upton's fan. And he's a former Brave fan, or maybe he's still a Brave fan, but he's very excited about the Uptonses being here and about Craig Kimbrell being here. And so he wants to know something I think we all want to know, which is, what do we think the plan is for Melvin Upton Jr. when he's able to come off the disabled list, which is probably 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks from now? We're not really sure. And it's a very fair, very good question. I would say that Buddy's mantra in these kinds of places is those sorts of things have a way of working themselves out, which I kind of buy, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible to answer right now, I guess.
It really is, but I kind of look at him the same way you look at a Josh Johnson. He's a little bit of a lottery ticket. You've got a guy with a lot of talent who's put up some pretty good numbers in the past. I'd say at the worst, he's your right-handed center field option that's not Will Venable. You know, maybe it doesn't bode well for Corey Spangenberg down the line, because you've got guys that can play all over the middle of the infield in Barmas and Amarista and Solarte. So, you know, this is a guy that's got some real raw tools, knows and has accepted the failures of his days in Atlanta, and that's a good thing, I think. So maybe he's ready to move on, and who knows? I mean, you could have a real special player there. If not, I mean, that's a talented fourth, fifth outfielder, and if that's the worst that comes out of it, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, some people might say, hey, very early on in his career, came up playing some shortstop. Is that a possibility? I would say it's probably not all that likely, but maybe you try it. I mean, who knows? And look, we've seen A.J. Preller make moves in all ways, shapes, and forms at all hours of the day and night. I think, you know, we've all kind of realized by now, or we should all realize by now, that what the roster is today means absolutely nothing tomorrow.
Right. Now, I would imagine he's going to get the max amount of rehab starts that it's going to take, and – if they're going to try something, that's where they're going to try it.
All right. We'll take a break, and on the other side, I'm going to talk some minor league baseball. John Conniff, who does a really good job writing for Matt Friars about the Padres minor league system, will join us on the Cholula Hotline. We'll talk to him about what's happening down on the farm for this Padre team. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, check in on the Padres farm system with John Conniff right after this. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. We're broadcasting live from the AMR studio here at Petco Park. We got the phone system back operational, which means we can activate the Cholula Hotline and talk some Padres minor league baseball with John Conniff of Mad Friars. You follow him on Twitter, at Mad Friars. You can read his organizational minor league previews on the website for Fox Sports San Diego. He breaks down the Chihuahuas and the Missions and right on down the line, the minor league affiliates for the Padres. John, appreciate you joining us, and glad we got this thing to work yesterday after Blooper broke the telephone yesterday. let me start you off here. Let's zoom out. The big name we should be watching in the Padres minor league system right now is whose name?
Man, that's a tough question. Probably the best name I can think of is Hunter Renfroe, who's going to be with the San Antonio Missions. You know, he might have a shot if Justin Upton leaves to kind of transition into the Padres outfield for next year. He was a first-round pick in 2013. He can play both corner outfield positions and center. The big thing they're going to work with him this year on is just his pitch recognition, just getting him a chance to play more ball. I think, I don't have it in front of me, in the Missions preview, you know, we wrote about how he only had about 600 plate appearances when he was in Mississippi State. So he still has a lot of baseball kind of left to learn and to play.
Always looking for star players, and it seems like one of the major star player potentials in our system is Michael Geddes. Just amazing tools, but the hit tools got to develop. What do you see for him? And you know, we've even heard the silly comparison of Mike Trout. I mean, that's as great as it gets. Where do you think he could go? Obviously, he's a young guy, but getting down the line.
Well, you know, I read the same thing that you did, you know, and I hadn't seen him play, but he put together some good numbers in the Arizona League. He's only 19, and when I was out there in spring training, that's where I ran to Jesse, and I was telling him that I just had been over to the minor league side, and I met him for the first time, and, you know, I wasn't sure if he was playing with the Padres or the Chargers. I mean, this is a big kid. He's about legitimate 6 feet, 215. As you said, he has all the tools. You know, Sam Gainey, the farm director, pointed out that they really like the progress that he's shown. And after doing this for, you know, kind of a long time, one of the things I found that was really unusual about Geddes is really focused on being a better baseball player. You know, he doesn't have that kind of attitude that some of the people that are really physically gifted have, that, you know, they kind of just cruise on by and the talent will take it. I mean, Geddes was really focused and what he needs to get better on, and, you know, he's read all the criticism, and he's, you know, bound to show he can do it. He's off to a great start. He's hitting about .438 in Fort Wayne, you know, coming into his ninth game.
Playing for the Tin Caps there in the single A. Yeah, John Conniff at Mad Friars on Twitter does a really nice job covering and writing about the Padres minor league system. You can see some of his stuff on the Fox Sports San Diego website. John, you mentioned Sam Gainey there, and I think when we talk about this new front office, everybody says A.J. Preller, A.J. Preller, A.J. Preller, but of course it's a much deeper situation than that. Have you learned anything different about the way the Padres, you know, minor league overall is sort of being handled now with the new leadership in place on the baseball side?
You know, it's just kind of an assumption that you're dealing with about three or four regimes, because, you know, myself and David Jay and Ben Davey, and now Kevin Chowdy, who just added on to our site, we've been doing this for about 10 years. So we've seen kind of a few. The biggest difference I noticed with Sam is, you know, everyone that you met at the Padres front office kind of seems to be on the same page. You know, there's no little group that just kind of hangs around the general manager and kind of fights maybe with the developmental staff. It seems like everyone kind of has their own areas of expertise. And, you know, Sam's a great story. He's only I think 29 years old with the Oakland A's, you know, organization. And he kind of has a little bit different philosophy on development than maybe Randy Smith, his predecessor, did. I would expect to see guys maybe stay a little bit longer at one level. I mean, Sam kind of really emphasized it. He kind of wants to see guys master a certain level before moving them up. He doesn't want to see, you know, people moving up and down as quickly as they've been years past.
Interesting you say that. They did move Austin Hedges up to AAA, probably to get his bat going in a little friendlier hitters league, and he looks like he's off to a good start. Do you have a comp for him? Maybe we've heard Brad Ausmus, you know, with the good defensive skills and a solid bat. What's a good major league comp for Austin Hedges?
The guy, there's a couple stories on him. The guy he gets compared to a lot, and this is not to put too much of a burden on him, is a little bit of Yadier Molina. And the reason is, not only because he's a great defensive player, but they think that's the type of hitter he could develop into in terms of just kind of starting slow, making contact to the opposite field, then gradually the power will come. There's one quick story I can tell is the catcher in Fort Wayne, the catcher was in Fort Wayne last year, Ryan Miller, who's now with the Storm, was talking about Jeffrey Enloe, the pitcher, throwing to him. He had just come down from San Antonio, and he made the comment to Miller. He goes, you know, I think you do a great job catching, but no offense, every time I throw anything to Austin Hedges, it looks like a strike. And all the pitchers that you talk to just are really crazy about.
Yeah, it's funny watching
him. They love throwing to him.
Yeah, even watching him in spring training. No, excuse me. Even watching him in spring training, he had that reputation, Austin Hedges, being a guy that receives the ball extremely well. So, you know, one time he was catching a bullpen, and I just kind of stationed myself, you know, pretty close to him just to watch it, kind of get a sense of, like, if I could tell the difference between him and, you know, another catcher. And, yeah, it just was so effortless, and the way he received the baseball, you could definitely tell why he's got that reputation. John Conniff of Mad Friars, follow them on Twitter, at Mad Friars. Check them out, FoxSportsSanDiego.com. Also check out their website. Does an awesome job covering the Padres minor league teams. They go and they see these guys in person. They don't just watch them from afar. Really good stuff, John. Would love to check in throughout the season. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. John Conniff on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Really do appreciate John's time. Some fun insights on the Padres minor league system. And, check in with him time to time throughout the season. What could be bad about all of that? If you're looking for paradise, oh, we got you covered. Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at Park at the Park or on the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Maui Waui in the house here at Petco Park. Next time the team is in town, make sure to check them out. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and also preview the Padres and the Cubs. Padres Social Hour continues right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio, Jesse Agler, Mike Grace, off day edition, Padres Social Hour. You're watching on Fox Sports San Diego. That's a beautiful view of the Coronado Bridge that Bloopers got today. Hey, we've been talking numbers a lot today. Here's some numbers for you. I tweeted this out last night, but I think it's worth repeating. The 10 games into the season, the Padres 3-4-5 hitters after their 10th game. That would be Kempton, Up, and Alonso last night. Their batting averages when the game was over, respectively, 341, 351, 355. Great numbers, obviously. Last year after 10 games, the 3-4-5 hitters in that game were hitting 233, 139, and 167.
That's a lot of ones and twos. That's not good.
So you go from 341, 351, 355. From 233, 139, and 167. That, my friends, is what we call an improvement. Get rewarded for the things you already do as a fan. Buy tickets, enter the ballpark, pay for concessions, and engage with the Padres on social media, like using that hashtag, PadresSH, and do it all from your phone. Download the MLB.com ballpark app to join Compadres, or visit Padres.com/Compadres to learn more. We're talking about it. Find it. Padres.com/Compadres. The Under 50 edition of Padres Social Hour concludes right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, Padres Social Hour presented by United. Now, going to break, I don't know if you caught that, I said it's the Under 50 edition. So here's the deal. Some loudmouth on Twitter last night was tweeting at our boss Wayne Partello, the chief marketing officer for the Padres, and he had a lot of complaints about Social Hour, one of which was the age of some of the people on here. He said, this was something the guy said. He says, no one over the age of 50 should be allowed on the show. So, obviously, we responded to this idiot by you and I both being under 50. No, of course not. No. What a terrible thing to say, man. Why you got to be ageist?
That's
we love
nice.
Bill Center. If he's over 50, I don't even know. Bill could be 49, for all I know.
If you ask him, he's practically dead.
Randy Jones, Kurt Bavakwa. These guys are all over 50, I think, and they're all wonderful, wonderful people. So, that guy, get out of here, man. Get out of here. He also, by the way, he referred to himself as like a social media
maven,
rock star, something like that.
Yeah.
He's got like he's just some guy on Twitter. Be nice to people, man. Come on. You're better than that. Hey, we're back tomorrow morning. Daytime edition Social Hour, 10 a.m. Talk to you then.
Want to give back to your San Diego community?